Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider. Are you being influenced? Well, if you watched a blockbuster film in the last decade, well, then there's a chance it has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Now, here's the reality. The CCP may be running the largest influence campaign in history. Now, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, well, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP exerts control over some major studios. Don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free when you go to the website hollywoodtakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Hey, what if your home's title, which is the legal document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? Well, that's called home title theft, and criminals all over the world can find your home's title online, and then they'll forge your signature, they'll take out loans against your home, or even worse, sell your home. Now, how do you know some criminal's not taking over the title to your home? You can find out with sign up at HometitleLock.com and use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. Hey, it's National Make-A-Will Month, and LegalZoom.com makes taking care of your will or trust easier than ever with advice from independent attorneys now available in 48 states and no expensive hourly fees because LegalZoom.com is not a law firm. Just enter Hannity1 at checkout for special savings now only at LegalZoom.com. All right, sad once again. What I've been saying all week, it's either cops lying in wait for an assassination attempt, an ambush, like in Dallas and Baton Rouge and other places around the country, or it's a terror attack. Well, there's more terror today, this time in Munich, Germany. We don't know how many are dead, at least 15, although we know that eyewitnesses at the mall where this took place, the Olympia Center Mall in Munich, say that bodies were lying all over the place. Now, Munich police say, yes, they believe this is a terror attack. They have been warning citizens all day to stay in their homes and to get off the streets, and they have shut down all of the subways. Still no word on exactly how many people are involved. They think at least three. It might be more. Oh, by the way, President Obama will speak out about the shooting in Germany. Let's see what he has to say. Want to take bets? He doesn't say radical Islamic terrorism. Anyway, just first observation. Anyway, began at a McDonald's, and it was the confirmed shooting at the subway station. Thereafter followed, and so yeah, what have I said all week? Every day, it's either assassination of police officers, an ambush on them, the outright murder of them, or it is another terror attack. But let not your heart be troubled, because just yesterday, Obama told you, especially young people, by the way, multiple eyewitnesses said they have seen three shooters. I wanted to add that point. Obama said yesterday, the world has never been less violent. John Kerry said, today we can say that the tide of ISIS has turned. Now, let's lay this out here before I play it. These are the people that identified ISIS as the JV team. These are the people that said just before the Paris attacks that ISIS has been contained. These are the very people that cannot find it within themselves to identify the enemy for who they are, which is radical Islamic terrorism. They prefer euphemisms. Man-caused disasters, workplace violence, overseas contingency operations. So let's listen to Obama yesterday. Let's listen to John Kerry yesterday. That Hillary Clinton is in lockstep with them. She's been saying the exact same thing. She has the same disease, this mysterious reluctance and resistance to identify the truth and reality that of evil of modern day and evil in our time. And let's listen to them once again reassure you that don't worry, there's never been a better time to live here. Don't worry, everything is safe and secure. Don't worry, America has never been safer. The world has never been less violent.
Sometimes when I'm talking to young interns at the White House who are still immunizing themselves from the cynicism that's so chronic in this town, I remind them, if you had to choose a moment in history to be born and you didn't know ahead of time who you were going to be, you'd choose now, because the world has never been less violent, healthier, better educated, more tolerant, with more opportunity for more people and more connected than it is today.
So today we can come to Washington as we did, defense ministers and foreign ministers, 45 countries, I believe, represented, 45 strong, and today we can say that the tide has turned. Our coalition and its partners on the ground have driven Daesh out of nearly 50% of the territory that it once controlled in Iraq and 20% of the territory in Syria, where it's obviously more complicated because we don't have the same forces on the ground. But coalition airstrikes have degraded Daesh's leadership, disrupted its ability to carry out offensive military operations. In fact, Daesh has not, since last May, been able to take over a community and hold on to that community or advance in terms of the territory that they were claiming. They have only shrunk and moved backwards.
They've only shrunk and moved backwards. So all of you that see day after day, night after night, terror attack after terror attack, assassination after assassination of law enforcement, don't worry, the president has your back. The world has never been less violent. We can say today that the tide has turned. The JV team is not on the court anymore. That's John Kerry. It's eerily uncanny. As soon as they say that ISIS is irrelevant, the JV team contained, that the world has never been less violent, or in the case of Kerry, the tide has turned. You can almost mark on your calendar in the next 3 days something hellacious is going to happen someplace around the world. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm watching the media reaction last night and reading it. MRC did a great job on Newsbusters laying out the stupidity of the analysis of what Donald Trump's speech was all about last night. You know, you got CNBC, oh, Trump's use of illegal alien murders reminiscent of the Willie Horton ad. We interviewed on this program mothers who lost their children murdered by illegal immigrants that not only were here illegally, but committed crimes here illegally, in many cases violent crimes here illegally, and they still were not sent back to the country that they came from after serving their jail sentences. And then they kill their children. Well, that's your country failing American families and people dying needlessly. Somebody has got to take responsibility for their stupidity. And you can take it for Bill Maher, another idiot. You know, Republicans, quote, his quote, are retarded Nazis. Election is a referendum on decency. I see they brought that idiot John Stewart back from the dead. And great, attack me all you want. I was right about Obama, and you were a fool who had your head so far up Obama's ass, John Stewart. I've never seen anybody kiss an ass like you kiss his. And now you're sucking up to him, putting your head up Hillary's ass and sucking up to her, too. Fine. The country's not better off, John, because, John Stewart, we've got 95 million Americans out of the labor force, John. Do you care about them? I know you're a rich liberal. You're donating money to those families, the 46 million American families on food stamps, John. Hey, John, are you helping out the 50 million Americans in poverty? Hey, John, are you going to help use your wealth from all your comedy writers that lay out the material for you? Are you going to help pay down the debt that Obama's accumulated, more debt than every other president before him combined? Are you going to help, John, the 1 in 5 American families in the country that don't have a single family member that have a job? I know you're rich enough, you don't have to work anymore. But these people are dying to work. And just like kids, they suck it up. They do what we tell them to do. They get their degree. And what happens? They end up living back in their mommy and daddy's basements because they can't get a job. Then you got Rachel Maddow, loved by this idiot Eric Wimple over at the Washington Post. I love these media critics. Hannity should not be doing convention coverage. He liked Melania's speech. Oh, let's see. But then he's talked about Rachel Maddow and the great coverage she's been doing. and Brian Williams. But wasn't Brian Williams found out to be a pathological liar? You know, well, Maddow last night, Eric Wemple's, I guess, one of his favorite reporters of all time that should really be doing convention coverage, even though the only people that seem to be watching it are people like him because I've seen the ratings and nobody watches MSNBC. Anyway, she said last night that Donald Trump serves as a gateway drug to transforming the GOP into one featuring people like David Duke. Wait till next week. I am telling you, wait till you watch this convention of the Democratic Party. You are going to see more people detached from reality that think global warming or, well, it's not global warming anymore and it's not global cooling anymore. It's the euphemism climate change, because they were wrong when they said the new ice age is coming in the 70s, and they were wrong in the 80s and 90s when they said the world was going to blow up from all the overheating and global warming. So now they use one generic term, climate change, so it justifies when it snows or doesn't snow, whether it rains or doesn't rain, whether or not the temperature goes up or down. They have an excuse for everything. And it's rooted, of course, in a political agenda. And they'll say that's more dangerous to us than terrorism, as the president and Hillary have suggested. You got, let's see, you got on MSNBC, Trump's speech protects white America thanks to talk radio culture. Well, that's not the speech I heard. And then on CNN, you got Van Jones terrified by Trump's schizophrenic, psychopathic speech about Mad Max America. And it gets worse. MSNBC mentioning big cities' names is racist coded language. Well, let's see. If you mention a city like Detroit, one of America's greatest cities, and I've been there, and I wanted to cry the last time I was there, and they're bulldozing entire neighborhoods to consolidate services because of bad trade deals by people like Hillary that have incentivized companies, auto companies, to move the hell out of Detroit. And that left everybody behind with no jobs, no money, and you can buy a house for a buck on the internet in some places in Detroit. Don't mention the name, because that's racist-coded language. And then you got the obsessive Matthews bringing back Cruz, McCarthy, Link, the villain who punched the victim, Donald Trump. It's insane. We're living in insane times. So this was the speech of Trump last night. It was a heavy dose of truth and reality on the economy, on issues involving violence in our country, about radical Islamic terrorism, and about immigration that is taking away jobs and compromising our security, about how to help minorities that have been devastated over under Obama and Hillary Clinton's America. It's about real new trade agreements, how to handle the debt, how to become energy independent, not count on countries that hate our guts. How to transform schools and education as the ladder to success in America. How to support our police. How to have infrastructure. Dealing with the truth about radical Islam. Getting rid of Obamacare, which has failed. And yeah, identifying the enemy for who they are and how Hillary has failed so deeply.
In 2009, pre-Hillary, ISIS was not even on the map. Libya was stable. Egypt was peaceful. Iraq was seeing and really a big, big reduction in violence. Iran was being choked by sanctions. Syria was somewhat under control. After 4 years of Hillary Clinton, what do we have? ISIS has spread across the region and the entire world. Libya is in ruins, and our ambassador and his staff were left helpless to die at the hands of savage killers. Egypt was turned over to the radical Muslim Brotherhood, forcing the military to retake control. Iraq is in chaos. Iran is on the path to nuclear weapons. Syria is engulfed in a civil war. And a refugee crisis now threatens the West. After 15 years of wars in the Middle East, after trillions of dollars spent and thousands of lives lost, the situation is worse than it has ever been before. This is the legacy of Hillary Clinton. Death, destruction, terrorism and weakness.
And I'd add one word, denial. They're in absolute, complete denial about the nature of the enemy that this world faces today, and they can't even identify it by name. And yeah, Trump was right last night. That should disqualify anybody from that office, on top of every other problem she has. And the president yesterday, the world has never been less violent. What world? Fantasy world. Well, I know they have Secret Service protection. Hillary's safe. Obama's safe. By the way, our politicians deserve to be safe. I'm all for the Secret Service. We've got to protect our elected officials. But most of you are not. As you walk through the streets of your small towns now in your big cities, be it Chattanooga, San Bernardino, Orlando, wherever it happens to be. Our cops are not safe in Dallas, and they're not safe in Baton Rouge, nor are they safe anywhere as they are targeted for assassination. What world are these people living in? And that's the choice in November that you're facing. And if you're still hung up as a never-Trumper, I can't reason with you anymore. I said I'm not going to spend my time on this radio program telling people who to vote for. But if Trump's list of Supreme Court nominees doesn't impress you, if the fact that he identifies radical Islam for what it is, if the fact that he'll build the wall that will help people get jobs in America and protect us in terms of national security doesn't do it for you, if sending education back to the states doesn't do it for you, if eliminating Obamacare doesn't do it for you, if energy independence doesn't do it for you, then you deserve the Hillary you're going to get. You deserve the government you get. It's National Make-A-Will Month, so it's time to check an important item off that to-do list, that honey-do list at LegalZoom.com. Hey, spending a few minutes right now on your will or trust, that means that you can enjoy a worry-free summer filled with family vacations and barbecues. Now, you don't want government making decisions on important matters like finances or your kids. LegalZoom.com, they make it easy. They're not a law firm, so you don't have to take time out of your day for office visits or pay expensive hourly rates. Instead, you get flat rate pricing and can save over $100 with LegalZoom's will or trust estate plan bundles. Now, if you don't know whether a will or trust is right for you, let not your heart be troubled. You're going to work with an independent attorney now available in 48 states. They can answer your questions and recommend the estate plan that fits your specific needs. Now, save money today. Do the right thing during National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com. Don't forget, enter Hannity1 in the referral box when you check out, and you'll save even more. So spend time with your family this summer. Let LegalZoom.com take care of the legal stuff. That's LegalZoom.com, LegalZoom.com. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Our top stories today, obviously more terror, this time in Munich in Germany. Police have confirmed they believe it is a terror attack. We know that we had basically three shootings, a total of three shootings in a subway, in McDonald's, and a mall. All right, the police in Munich have been telling citizens all throughout the day and now into the night to stay in their homes, get off the streets. All subways have been shut down. The shooter hit the subway station at the Olympia Center Mall. They shot up a coffee shop and a McDonald's. Eyewitnesses at the mall say that the bodies were lying all over the floor. Now, we also know that at least five are confirmed dead inside the Olympia Mall. They suspect three attackers. That could change, but that's what they think as of now. The shooters are still on the run, and citizens are being told to stay away from all these public places. Now, your great president, President Denial, you know, the same guy that John Stewart, sucks up to, loves, worships, idolizes, adores. As a matter of fact, he loves Obama so much he's had his head up his ass the entire 8 years he's been president. Anyway, Obama came out and he spoke about the latest terrorist attack. Remember, Munich police have identified this as a terror attack. And liberal elitists like John Stewart, I'm sure they're going to be very proud of the 34 seconds, because that's all Obama devoted to this today. And then he starts laughing. You can't even make this up. It's so bad. Let's play it.
Some of you are aware there were shootings in Germany, and we don't yet know exactly what's happening there, but obviously our hearts go out to those who may have been injured. It's still an active situation, and Germany is one of our closest allies, so we are going to pledge all the support that they may need in dealing with these circumstances. It's a good reminder of something that I've said over the last couple of weeks, which is our way of life, our freedoms, our ability to go about our business every day, raising our kids and seeing them grow up and graduate from high school and now about to leave their dad. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little too personal. Getting a little too personal there. That depends on law enforcement. It depends on the men and
women. Can I just stop this here? Because I really can't take this. People probably by the end of today will discover they lost their kids to this latest terrorist attack. He devotes 34 seconds to addressing it, and then he starts laughing and joking about his kids going off to school. Why am I not laughing with you? John Stewart, I'm sure he's laughing. His head firmly implanted right up Obama's, you know what, I've said it enough today. People are going to get mad at me. You know, it's really, really sad. So you have a convention. I'm there. And I think if I were to give a headline as to what happened last night at this convention, it's really simple. Donald Trump decided to do something that I think only probably as a politician he could do. And that is totally, completely, honestly tell you the unadulterated condition and how bad this country's condition is right now. Backing it up with facts and figures and numbers and then prosecuting the case about how Hillary Clinton is so dishonest, so corrupt, so untrustworthy, has failed so miserably, and as a establishment politician is incapable of fixing these problems, and then laying out what his priorities are and how he would change the country and make it safe and make it prosperous and make it more secure. If I had to sum up the speech, that pretty much is it. But if you're watching TV last night, which I'm sure Eric Wemple of the Washington Post was, he says, I am unfit to do convention coverage. Well, I didn't do the convention coverage. I did the opinion show after the convention, like I do every year, like I have done for 20 years. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about. But he did praise Brian, what's his name? Brian Williams. And he sees dead bodies floating outside of a hotel room he's staring at, except there was no water and no bodies outside the hotel, and there were no gangs running inside the Ritz-Carlton at the time. Praised him. So he said, you could watch that. You can watch Rachel Maddow. Let's see, after Trump's speech last night, doing the same thing I do, an opinion show. And by the way, I don't care what Rachel's opinions are. Who cares? You know, she's wrong. It was nothing but race baiting after on MSNBC about, you know, Robertson and Reid saying Trump's speech protects white America thanks to the talk radio culture. Rachel Maddow added to those comments and stated that just after midnight last night, that Trump serves as a gateway drug to transforming the GOP into one featuring people like David Duke and an extension of the KKK. That's what you got on NBC last night. Well, if you're interested in what you got on CNN, it wasn't a whole hell of a lot better. You know, they tried to use Ivanka's speech against her father, and that didn't work out too well. And you got more from Chris Matthews, and it goes on and on and on from there. MSNBC actually going as far as by saying mentioning big city names is racist coded language and previewing the Democratic convention. Why all the Hillary hate? Well, let's see what they say about what Democrats say about Donald Trump this week. Anyway, here's just a montage of some of this madness and what apparently is great journalism, according to Eric Wemple. Is it Wemple or Pimple? Wemple. Whatever his name is at the Washington Post.
But I have to say, this convention did answer a few important questions for the American people, like, could another Nazi Germany happen here?
the Republican Party that I worked for two decades died in this room tonight. We are now represented as a party by a man who believes in protectionism, isolationism, and nativism.
It was just a relentlessly dark speech. He was describing some Mad Max America, and there was some schizophrenic, psychopathic attempt to pull apart the Obama coalition. I have read in history, being in moments where there's some big authoritarian movement and some leader that's rising up. And I felt that way tonight, and it was terrifying for me.
One thing that's getting a lot of traction on social media is the response to Donald Trump's speech from David Duke, the former Klan leader. Couldn't have said it better, meaning couldn't have said it better myself. And a lot of people who I think are critical of Donald Trump generally look at praise like that from somebody like Donald Duke and wonder if he is a gateway drug.
You know, it was a angry speech for angry people. He painted this very grim dystopian picture of America, an America racked with crime and violence, even though he talks about illegal immigrants as being responsible for crime and
roaming free.
Right, as people do, right? They roam. You know, and frankly, this was a message, at least to my ears, to white America. Be afraid. I will protect you.
The speech was either kind of music to your ears and sort of spoke to the really kind of dour, sort of dystopian, sort of angry place that a lot of Americans are in. There is a subset of Americans who, and not, it's not new, you know, for 30 years, that's part of what conservative talk radio has done. It sort of nurtured this sense of grievance against the culture, grievance against the left, grievance against liberalism, that is now grievance against the Obama America. And so the two Americas are very different places. I thought the speech, as read in text, was extremely dark.
You go back to that old thing of bashing Washington, D.C., the old Marion Barry days, bashing Baltimore and Chicago. Those city names evoke minorities.
Yeah, no, there is some, you wonder, there's some coded language.
Yeah.
Coded language. That is what I have been saying about media for years. You know, people like Wimple and Jon Stewart, do they care about the people suffering under these policies? Because, you know, what they're really trying to do here is just patronize you, the American people. Well, the picture that Trump laid out was too dark. It's not accurate. And he's trying to scare people. No, the scare part will come next week when you hear that Republicans want to poison the air, water, throw granny over a cliff, that every cop is racist, and one in which, gee, as Obama said, the world has never been less violent. Really? You really believe that? Well, 65% of the American people now say the country's on the wrong track, so Jon Stewart and Eric Wimple are not exactly mainstream, nor is Brian Williams or Rachel Maddow. Now, what's happening here, look, they've never understood why I'm successful. They've never understood, because I tell the truth. A lot of the statistics you recognized if you're a regular listener to this program. I had nothing to do with the speech, nothing whatsoever. Didn't talk about it, didn't with anybody beforehand. But what the Trump campaign did is lay out how bad things are. Crime is exploding in our cities, and people know it. People don't like instinctively to see cops lying in wait, ambushed and assassinated. Terrorists are slaughtering people here at home and abroad. You've got more unvetted immigrants in this country from terrorist countries being forced into American communities. And the people have no say in this. Even illegal immigrants that are convicted of crime, no problem. American worker wages have been stuck for years. The statistics that Trump laid out about black Americans, Hispanic Americans, they're making less money than ever. 20% more black Americans out of the labor force since Obama's been president. A 58% increase in the black community on food stamps since Obama's been president. Median income for black America is down $2,400 since Obama's been president. I give you these. One in five American families don't have a single person in the family in the workforce. Blue-collar industries decimated by these horrible deals that these people in Washington have been building. Immigration is out of control. It's impacting our educational system, our healthcare system, our criminal justice system, and the American people know it. They understand it. And Trump went through it. Why do you think he set a record with 14 million, the most votes in the history of the Republican Party in a primary? You know, when he says crime and violence that affects our nation will come to an end, why is that resonating? Why is, you know, all the money and the corruption of Hillary Clinton taking money from countries that abuse women and gays and lesbians that are put to death and Christians and Jews that can't worship the way they want? Why is she taking money from them? Why does she get away with lying the way she lied, both about Benghazi and about the email server? Why did she delete, what, 30-some-odd thousand emails for crying out loud? Why is it 40% of African-American children live in poverty? 40%! Why is it 58% of African-American youth are not employed? Why is it that 2 million Latinos are in poverty today, 2 million more than when Obama took office? Why is it another 14 million people have left the workforce and we don't count them in this ridiculous, phony, fraudulent unemployment number? Household income for African Americans down 2,400 per family. Why is it household income is down more than $4,000 in the last 16 years? Why is it the trade deficit is so out of control? Why did Obama accumulate more debt than every other president before him combined? Why is it our infrastructure is collapsing and dilapidated the way it is? Why did these idiots give this money to Iran? Why did they screw up Libya in the first place? Why did they negotiate with the number one state sponsor of terror? Why did they pull out of Iraq and not follow through on the red line in Syria? Why did they give money to a guy, the president of Egypt, that says Jews are descendants of apes and pigs? Hillary's legacy is one of death, destruction, terrorism, weakness. And so Trump laid it out on the economy. He laid it out on the need for energy independence. He laid it out. And that's your choice this election year. That is the choice of the American people. It's a future. We're either going to go forward or we're going to go back. And we're going to continue down this path of failure. But don't worry. If you work for the Washington Post like Eric Wemple, or if you're Jon Stewart and you don't have to work at all and you get to stay home and be a little house dad and go on TV with your buddy Steve Colbert every once in a while and suck up to Obama and suck up to Hillary, and even though everyone else is suffering miserably, you're living the life of luxury because you have a whole staff of comedy writers that can call me names. I'm so offended. What a jackass. Do you give a shit at all about what happened? Do you care one bit what's happening to the American people? To Black America, White America, Hispanic America? You care about the millions more in poverty and on food stamps? Do you care about the debt and deficit we're giving to our kids? Do you care at all? Well, it's the first time in a while I've had to bleep myself on the program. Did it bleep out? It's been a while. Whoops. I was due for a while, right? I just had to bleep myself. Well, I do, you know, got to make sure that, trust me, I know they would love to take away this program's license in a heartbeat. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free. My staff is in tears laughing inside there. I'm glad you're all amused. Jason, was that funny? Jason, you should have seen your face. You nearly panicked. How many times did you hit the button?
Oh, yeah, you should have seen my face, all right. Oh, yeah.
How many times did you hit the button?
I only needed to hit it once. I was just kind of in stunned disbelief.
So how many seconds of the show gets removed when you hit it?
I don't think I should divulge state secrets.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And we have like I can screw up seven different ways before you have to, before it starts getting out. All right, I'll calm down. We have Newt Gingrich in the next hour. What do we have at the top of the hour, Linda? I don't have my list. Oh, we have Patrick Poole and Pam Geller on this terror attack, this tragedy. Don't worry, Obama spent 34 whole seconds on it today and then started laughing.
My son saw in the toilet the man loading his gun. It was a pistol. I come out of the toilet and I hear this like an alarm. Boom, boom, boom. And he still killing the children. They make nothing. The children were sitting to eat. They can't run.
Now, Loretta also told us that she heard the man yelling, Allahu Akbar.
In 2009, pre-Hillary, ISIS was not even on the map. Libya was stable. Egypt was peaceful. Iraq was seeing and really a big, big reduction in violence. Iran was being choked by sanctions. Syria was somewhat under control. After 4 years of Hillary Clinton, what do we have? ISIS has spread across the region and the entire world. Libya is in ruins, and our ambassador and his staff were left helpless to die at the hands of savage killers. Egypt was turned over to the radical Muslim Brotherhood, forcing the military to retake control. Iraq is in chaos. Iran is on the path to nuclear weapons. Syria is engulfed in a civil war, and a refugee crisis now threatens the West. After 15 years of wars in the Middle East, after trillions of dollars spent and thousands of lives lost, the situation is worse than it has ever been before. This is the legacy of Hillary Clinton. Death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness.
Death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness. The worst that it's ever been. As confirmed, we have more terror today, this time in Munich, Germany. They're now saying at least 15 are dead, although other eyewitnesses, you just heard that other eyewitness, describing bodies lying all over the floor. We have three shootings in a subway, McDonald's, and a mall. It's called the Olympia Mall. It's inside of Germany. The shooter hit the subway station at the Olympia Center Mall, shot up a coffee shop also, apparently still on the loose. They now believe they have at least three attackers, maybe more, a total of three shootings, shooters still on the run. They don't know exactly how many. All throughout the day, police in Germany, they've told people this is a terror attack. All day they've been warning people to stay in their homes. All the subways have been shut down. And we continue to follow that situation on the heels of the president of the United States, Barack Obama, yesterday saying the world has never been less violent. And John Kerry saying that today we can say that the tide has turned, just like they were wrong in saying 3 days before the attack in Paris that ISIS is contained. The same people that said that we don't need to say the words radical Islamic terrorism because it offends people and it will cause them to be more violent and recruit more people. The same people that have been wrong every single solitary step of the way. Now, by the way, there are other reports out there. We don't know if this is radical Islamic terrorism. Terrorism, to me, is terrorism. There was one report that it could be some white supremacist group that came out of Germany. We're watching that report closely. You know, but terrorism is terrorism. And we're not stopping terrorism. And that's why, you know, you'd have two different visions. The world, you know, has never been less violent. Anyway, here to update this, we have Newt Gingrich at the bottom of the hour on the program here today. And just, to me, it's just depressing to see this again and again every day. We're either getting cops assassinated, targeted for assassination, or we're getting this. Anyway, Patrick Poole is the national security and terrorism correspondent for PJ Media. Pam Geller, president of the American Freedom Defense Initiative, editor and publisher of Atlas Shrugs, co-author of the book that recently came out, which is called The Post-American Presidency, Obama's War on America and Stop the Islamization of America. Patrick, what is your take on the events today, especially in light of these very different views of what's happening worldwide? Obama saying the world has never been less violent and Donald Trump saying the opposite.
Well, Sean, I think what we see is that we're the German police and the Interior Ministry are, they still don't know what's going on. They still don't know how many shooters. But what we do know, Sean, and it was just a week ago, we were talking about the terror attack in Nice with 84 dead. And there was a terror attack on Monday on a German train. You know, there was two Muslims who stabbed people up in Ottawa that really didn't get covered this week. You know, this threat is metastasizing. And if, in fact, this attack in Munich turns out to be, you know, ISIS-inspired Islamists or even directly connected to ISIS, I mean, there needs to be some very serious questions asked about our national intelligence and law enforcement structure, are they up to the job?
You know, Pam, you take a lot of heat. I take a lot of heat because we have the unmitigated goal to identify evil in our time and identify radical Islamic terrorism. Now, maybe this turns out to be something different. We don't know. We never know. But what I do know is this, is that violence is spinning out of control, and that I don't feel particularly safe when people won't secure the border. People are inviting in people from countries that practice Sharia. We don't know what their intentions are. We can't read their hearts. Hillary Clinton wants a 550% increase in the refugee population, even though our CIA director, FBI director, assistant FBI director, national director of intelligence, House Homeland Security chair, former special envoy to defeat ISIS all say, like in Belgium and Paris, ISIS will infiltrate the refugee population here.
Well, they have vowed to do that. They warned us, as you know, in February of 2015 that they would be sending an army via migration. It's exactly what they've done. Look, whether or not this is Muslim gunmen, ISIS is bragging that all over Europe it's now affected by their terrorism, and that is true. Look, such things are going to happen because people are increasingly frustrated by the policies of the elite. And they have to address the concerns of the people. Don't misunderstand me. I don't for one second condone what's happening. But the more the elites screw up their countries, our countries, nuts are going to lash out. So it's either that or it's either jihad. And, you know, to Patrick's point, it was just 2 days ago where a devout Muslim was on a train and literally, I mean, slashed up scores of passengers. It was, quote, a slaughterhouse. He was yelling Allahu Akbar. And again, you don't see this kind of, you don't see the reportage on this. It's every day. It's every day. It's something else.
It's every single day. And I said this all week. And then this is, you know, Donald Trump lays out the case last night and he ended that, you know, after speaking at length about Hillary Clinton's record, and I thought he prosecuted the case very powerfully about how she has failed and how this is a record of failure and how we're less safe and we're less secure and people economically are worse off than they've ever been. But, you know, he went on all the detail about ISIS and Egypt and Libya and Iraq and Iran and Syria and how ISIS has spread throughout the region and the world, and you know, Libya is in ruins and Iraq is in chaos, and they're giving, you know, F-16s to the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're giving $150 billion to Iran. And, you know, this is a legacy of death, destruction, terrorism, weakness, and people are dying. And by the way, you know, just to point it out, I was talking to my audience earlier about this, Patrick. Obama addressed the issue today. He addressed it for 34 seconds. 10 seconds later, he's laughing and joking about his own daughters. I mean, I'm just sitting, I'm flabbergasted considering that there's likely going to be dead kids and parents that won't see their children in this Munich, Germany attack. Your reaction?
Sean, it is amazing, you know, Obama saying, you know, the Trump's doom and gloom, and yet we see these long string of attacks. I mean, it's just barely 5 weeks after the attack down in Orlando, where we had 49 Americans and 100 more injured and gunned down in Orlando. It's the optics of this are bad. And Sean, I'm getting attacked on Twitter for raising the very point you made about the escalation. And the point, we are seeing three times the deaths from terrorism in the world today than when Barack Obama took office. So all these claims that, well, you know, violence is down and, you know, there are less mass shootings, you know, globally, the problem is increasing exponentially, and our media and political elites of both parties, by the way, are completely asleep at the wheel.
It's so true. It's so true. Pam, last word, and I've got so much other news today.
The fact is, the more right we are, and we've been right for the past 10 years, the more crushing the attacks. ISIS has repeatedly called for terror attacks in Europe, and Europe's disastrous migrant policies ensure that there will be more. And the attacks are coming more and more frequently. And we have to stop treating each one as a separate criminal act and realize we're in a war. It's and by the way, if it is a Muslim shooter, there will be the usual nonsense about
how his motive
his motive is perfectly clear, and yet we're always told that it's unclear and unknown.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it might turn out to be a racist. Who knows? Then they'll say, see, conservatives did this. You know, it's unbelievable. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate both of you. Giuliani, by the way, said he'd like to prosecute Hillary. He said, we can't do anything about Hillary yet and the laws that she broke. Donald Trump becomes president. The statute of limitations is not up. There is no double jeopardy. We can reopen the case. Well, that might have Hillary pretty mad. You know, there were 20,000 hacked DNC emails released here now today on the eve of the Democratic convention. Among them, by the way, now there's 50,000 angry Bernie Sanders protesters that are going to be marching towards Philly now. When they hear this, they're going to be livid. Somebody, if they're in the group of 50,000, put up the Sean Hannity show really loud so everyone can hear it. Top officials at the DNC planned how to undermine Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, according to a trove of emails released by WikiLeaks on Friday today. Sanders' campaign long claimed the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz had tipped the scales in favor of Hillary Clinton during the presidential primary. The email releases will reignite the controversy days before they gather. Now, we know Hillary's a liar, dishonest, and untrustworthy, but anyway, in one May 21st email, the DNC press secretary writes to communications director about planting a narrative to the media that Sanders' campaign was a mess. In another email, the DNC CFO appears to write about a plan to question Sanders' religion. Oh, I guess Crooked Hillary really doesn't fit, does it? If I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter and I'm reading this, I'm pissed. Oh, and Black Lives Matter says law and order speech makes Trump a terrorist. If that's not, it sounds like that, like Black Lives Matter can work at MSNBC because that was pretty much their narrative, because God forbid that Donald Trump actually mentioned American cities that are in desperate need of help after being decimated by decades of liberal policies. And the president, how's he dealing with this immigration issue? He's inviting the Mexican president to the White House to criticize Donald Trump. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what the Eric Whipples or Wimples of the world say. It doesn't matter what John, I have my head up Obama's ass 24/7, 365 says, because an Insta poll from last night showing Trump's speech and the reaction by a margin of more than 5-1, viewers that watched Trump's speech at the convention last night said it made them more likely than not to vote for him in November. 56% of speech viewers were more likely to vote for him after seeing him speak last night. Only 10% said it made them less likely. Wow. By the way, even GOP insiders, I love these people that are so late to jump on the train. Even they say Trump nailed it. It's unbelievable. All right, 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Oh, by the way, the Black Lives Mothers are going to get a primetime speaking spot. You know, primetime mothers of kids that chant, what do we want, dead cops? When do we want them now? I don't know if it's specifically their kids, but that's what we're talking about here.
In 2009, pre-Hillary, ISIS was not even on the map. Libya was stable. Egypt was peaceful. Iraq was seeing and really a big, big reduction in violence. Iran was being choked by sanctions. Syria was somewhat under control. After 4 years of Hillary Clinton, what do we have? ISIS has spread across the region and the entire world. Libya is in ruins, and our ambassador and his staff were left helpless to die at the hands of savage killers. Egypt was turned over to the radical Muslim Brotherhood, forcing the military to retake control. Iraq is in chaos. Iran is on the path to nuclear weapons. Syria is engulfed in a civil war, and a refugee crisis now threatens the West. After 15 years of wars in the Middle East, after trillions of dollars spent and thousands of lives lost, the situation is worse than it has ever been before. This is the legacy of Hillary Clinton. death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness.
If you doubt that this threat is as real as I say, let me refresh your memory. On Monday, an Afghan refugee in Germany used an axe and knives to slash and wound train passengers while shouting, Allahu Akbar. Last week, ISIS claimed responsibility after a Tunisian man drove a cargo truck into a crowd in Nice, France. He murdered 84 people, including 10 children, 3 Americans, and injured over 300 others. 2 weeks ago, almost 300 people were killed and more than 200 were wounded in bombing attacks in Baghdad. 2 days before that, radical Islamists in Bangladesh killed 20 hostages, including 3 American college students. A few days before that, at the Istanbul airport in Turkey, ISIS attackers armed with guns and bombs killed 44 people and injured hundreds more. Last month, a radical Islamist in Paris stalked a French police officer to his home, where he murdered the officer, tortured his wife to death in front of their 3-year-old son, while streaming it all on social media. He was pondering out loud whether to kill the 3-year-old when he was killed by police. 2 days before that, an attacker pledging allegiance to ISIS killed 49 people in an Orlando nightclub and wounded dozens more. All this in just the past 37 days.
Sometimes when I'm talking to young interns at the White House who are still immunizing themselves from the cynicism that's so chronic in this town, I remind them, if you had to choose a moment in history to be born and you didn't know ahead of time who you were going to be, you'd choose now, because the world has never been less violent, healthier, better educated, more tolerant, with more opportunity for more people and more connected than it is today.
There you have very different world views. You have Donald Trump in his acceptance speech last night talking about the world pre-2009, pre-Barack Obama, pre-Hillary Clinton, where Libya was stable and Egypt was stable and peaceful and Iraq was, and cities like Ramadi and Mosul and Tikrit and Fallujah, they had a major reduction in violence. They were not controlled by ISIS. As a matter of fact, ISIS didn't really even exist, wasn't even on the map. Libya is now in ruins. ISIS has the financing to expand their global network of terror. We see that Egypt was turned over to Mohammed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood, and they ended up giving him F-16s, tanks, and your money. Iraq is now descended into total chaos. Iran now can build a bomb with $150 extra billion in half the time they could have before. Syria engulfed in a civil war, and the refugee crisis now that the rest of the world has to deal with. That is the legacy of Hillary Clinton: death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness. And then you heard Newt Gingrich outline exactly the same thing when he spoke. And yet we have President Obama saying the world has never been less violent. The same guy that called ISIS the JV team, that repeatedly said that ISIS was contained. He's never been more wrong on more issues than on the issue of national security and radical terrorism. Again, a word he will not acknowledge. And even John Kerry said yesterday, today we can say that the tide has turned against ISIS. Joining us now, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, by the way, and this on the heels of today's big news, what we have been following all day. We have more terror, this time in Munich. Munich police say, that, yes, this is a terror attack. All day and night, they have been warning their citizens to stay home and get off the streets. All subways remain shut down. And we know that it started. They know that at least 3 people they suspect involved in all of this. They don't know for sure. Eyewitnesses described the scene at the mall saying bodies were lying all over the floor. So which worldview is correct, truthful, accurate, and which one is naive, ignorant, and frankly, bordering on pathologically wrong? Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House. You gave the speech 2 nights ago. And, just add this to your list.
Well, let me just say 2 things. First, what makes this very poignant for Calista and me is that on June 15th, we were in Munich, and I was doing a Facebook Live showing the Glockenspiel, which is the famous musical thing at the City Hall. And it's a beautiful city. It's a lovely place. And here you have this horrifying event going on right now. So for us personally, only a few weeks ago, we were right there. And we really, really empathize with the people who are there and what's happening to them. The second you know, I went in this morning, I was talking to various elite news media people who said, oh, Donald Trump's view was too dark. And this is apparently the mainstream media's version of reality today was that the speech last night was too dark. Well, my challenge to the elite media is really simple. You want to look at Munich and tell us about dark? I mean, what you have here is a very simple test. What we have is Donald Trump is a realist describing realistically what is going on, in which there are terrible events being carried out by terrorists. You know, you can understand the president's situation. He's surrounded by the Secret Service. He has Air Force One. He has Marine One. He has huge, caravans of cars. Of course he feels safe. Hillary Clinton, I think, has had Secret Service protection for 24 years. Of course she feels safe. How about the rest of us? And some of these elite reporters who were just all over this, in the New York Times coverage, all these different things this morning, they had found their theme. You know, Donald Trump was too pessimistic, too dark. Well, tell me about it after you watch Munich. It seems to me Munich is absolutely validation that Donald Trump is in touch with reality, and his media critics, as well as his opponent, are living a fantasy land.
Well, their spin on it, I mean, the convention, from my perspective, having been to many of them, really couldn't have gone any better. But, of course, there has to be a negative narrative that begins somewhere. And it's a sad irony that Donald Trump lays out the case that the people that won't say the words radical Islamic terrorism, the ones that did identify ISIS as the JV team, and all the damage and destruction that has then followed, you know, the ones that would use these ridiculous euphemisms, workplace violence, man-caused disasters, overseas contingencies, have been so wrong.
Right, and I think when we watch the Democrats next week, we'll see them be wrong again and again and again. And here's what people have to ask themselves. I mean, I'm frankly as angry at the elite media as I am at Hillary Clinton. I mean, Hillary Clinton at least has the legitimacy of being a hardline left-winger who is being surrounded by left-wing allies, and she represents them. But to have people who pretend that they're reporters spend this morning, I had one interview I did, it was just ridiculous. And they had this whole theme, as you say, the narrative, I guess that's the term nowadays, and their narrative is nuts. And, of course, tragically, and let me be very clear with this, it is tragic that this is happening in Munich today, but it is also a pretty powerful signal that Donald Trump is right about how dangerous the world is, and the news media and the Democrats are just plain living in a fantasy land.
You know, if you look at the liberal media, let me point out some things here to you that were said on CNBC. Trump's use of illegal alien murders, in other words, real examples. He had real mothers that I interviewed this week that went up on that stage at the RNC convention and told the story of how they lost their children. They'll never see them again. And CNBC refers to that as the use of illegal alien murders reminiscent of the Willie Horton ad. You have Rachel Maddow comparing Trump's speech, it could be a gateway drug for the KKK becoming mainstream to America. Bill Maher saying Republicans are, quote, retarded Nazis. Election is a referendum on decency. Van Jones terrified by Trump's, you know, psychopathic speech about Mad Max America. And I can keep going on for hours here.
But by the way, can I just take one, since I was involved in it, can I take one brief moment to go back on history lane?
Sure.
Willie Horton was a vicious murderer who was released by Michael Dukakis in a weekend program for paroling murderers, who kidnapped a couple in Maryland, raped her, and then stabbed both of them some 50 times and left them in an oil bin. Willie Horton was not a fantasy. He was a reality. For that couple, he was a nightmare. He ended their lives. He deprived their families of their lives, and he deprived them of their future. And the left has been desperate ever since to say, oh, it's really unfair and inappropriate to talk about it. Well, you tell that to the victims. The same thing right here. You tell the victims and their families who've been killed by people who came here, and they say, well, it's statistically not meaningful. Well, it's 100% meaningful to the person who gets killed and to the family who lose their loved ones. And there's something almost sick about the elite media using these phony statistics to say things that aren't true. You know, there aren't many of the refugees who are in Munich who are killing people this afternoon. There was only one refugee who was cutting people up on the train earlier this week. I mean, after all, statistically, that's not a big risk. There is zero reason for the United States to put its citizens at risk by accepting people we don't know who come from regions that are violent and who may well decide that they hate us.
You know, I just think that, you know, almost now every day, and you've been on the program a lot recently, and thank you. You were actually off today, and I called you. I said, I want you to respond because this really fit the narrative of the speech. I think this is the most preparation you ever put into a speech, knowing you all of these years. But it fit the narrative. Here we go again, but it seems like every other day it's either cops being targeted for assassination, you have people lying in wait, they're being ambushed, or it's a terror attack. Either here in America or elsewhere around the world, and it's done by the JV team that Hillary and I, you can argue from my perspective, Hillary and Obama created by pulling out of Iraq early, not standing strong on Syria, and having an unwillingness, which is mysterious to me, to identify the enemy of our time, which is evil, radical Islamists.
Well, let me say, first of all, I want to thank you for agreeing to put a link to my speech on your website, because I do think, I mean, this is a speech I put a long time into. This is a topic I've been working on since the 1970s. I think that it is now so vividly, powerfully clear, and I hope that all of our listeners will take a little bit of time to look at this. I also want to suggest to them that Daniel Silva's new novel, Black Widow, which starts with France and shows you the problems in France and then takes you through ISIS. It is the most vivid explanation of what we are living through. And I think people, when they read it, are going to realize, you know, this is a real war. And we had better have a wartime president who wants to defeat the enemy, not some deluded person living in a fantasy.
Yeah. Where do you think, what impact do all of these events cumulatively have on the election in November?
Oh, I think they all hurt Hillary desperately and they help Trump, because Trump looks like he's tough enough, strong enough, and capable of being a genuine leader. And, you know, Hillary, in all of her experience as Secretary of State, exemplified weakness and living out a fantasy policy. She was a disaster. What Trump said last night was absolutely true. Whether it's the Russian reset, which was a fiasco, or it was the Libyan decisions, which were a disaster, or it was the support for radicals in Egypt, which almost became a catastrophe. I mean, every time she turned around, she was doing something that weakened America. And, of course, she started the negotiations with Iran, which are probably the worst single negotiations in American history.
And we learned this week,
$150 billion.
$150 billion. And we learned this week it takes half the time that it would have taken for them to get a nuclear weapon. But I've got to run. I know you have to run as well, Mr.
Right.
Speaker. As always, thanks for being with us all week.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And you're not coming to Philly with us, which I, by the way, fully...
I'll be on the radio show and a little bit of television commenting on the Democrats, but I ain't going to Philly.
Talk
to you later.
Yeah, I'll go on behalf of all of us. Thanks for the mission. I appreciate it.
All right.
Sometimes when I'm talking to young interns at the White House who are still immunizing themselves from the cynicism that's so chronic in this town, I remind them, if you had to choose a moment in history to be born and you didn't know ahead of time who you were going to be, you choose now, because the world has never been less violent, healthier, better educated, more tolerant, with more opportunity for more people and more connected than it is today.
In 2009, pre-Hillary, ISIS was not even on the map. Libya was stable. Egypt was peaceful. Iraq was seeing and really a big, big reduction in violence. Iran was being choked by sanctions. Syria was somewhat under control. After 4 years of Hillary Clinton, what do we have? ISIS has spread across the region and the entire world. Libya is in ruins, and our ambassador and his staff were left helpless to die at the hands of savage killers. Egypt was turned over to the radical Muslim Brotherhood, forcing the military to retake control. Iraq is in chaos. Iran is on the path to nuclear weapons. Syria is engulfed in a civil war, and a refugee crisis now threatens the West. After 15 years of wars in the Middle East, after trillions of dollars spent, and thousands of lives lost, the situation is worse than it has ever been before. This is the legacy of Hillary Clinton. Death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness.
All right, news roundup, information overload hour here on the Sean Hannity Show. One of the more powerful moments of Donald Trump's acceptance speech last night in Cleveland at the Republican National Convention. All right, 800-941-SEAN is our number. We also have today the mall rampage in Munich, where we now have so many dead. And in the shooting spree, it's like every day there's either a terror attack or a police officer being assassinated. It just never seems to end. Anyway, joining us, Chris Hahn, host of the ever so popular Chris Hahn Show on three stations now across the nation.
Number one, baby.
Noelle Nickport, GOP strategist. She's running for Congress in Florida in House District 18 down there. All right, Chris, to get through this segment properly, you're just going to have to play ball. And if you can't play ball, I'll talk to Noelle and I'll just put your microphone down.
I will play ball. And okay. Let me tell you, I watched you last night. I've never seen you look happier.
I actually thought that speech, polls indicate as well, snap polls of the speech. Even ABC had 57% of people more likely to vote for Trump as a result of that speech. All right, the bottom line is true or false. Let's go through the list that Trump just laid out. ISIS didn't exist. They weren't on the map in 2009 pre-Hillary. True or false?
True.
Egypt was peaceful. True or false?
I'm going to say false to that.
Egypt was peaceful and relatively stable under Mubarak. Iraq was seeing a major reduction in violence, and cities like Ramadi and Mosul and Tikrit and Fallujah were under control. True or false?
True, at great expense to our lives and treasure.
Iran was, in fact, being choked by sanctions and were not $150 billion richer as they are now. True or false?
That's a false statement, Sean.
No, that's a true statement.
It's a false statement.
Syria was under a dictatorship, but nevertheless, it wasn't spiraling into a civil war as it is today. True or false?
True.
ISIS now has spread across the region by Obama and Hillary pulling out of Iraq, and after not responding to the red line they drew in the sand in Syria, it has now created a vacuum that has been filled by the JV team, ISIS, and they have the finances through oil to expand their global terror network. True or false?
I'm going to say that's a little true and a little false.
I'm going to say it's 100% true. Libya is now in ruins, and four people died, and Hillary lied. True or false?
Well, I don't think she lied, but it is in ruins.
Okay.
True.
Egypt, at one point after the Arab Spring, was turned over to the radical Muslim Brotherhood vis-a-vis Mohamed Morsi, who once referred to Jews as descendants of apes and pigs. And Obama and Hillary gave Morsi, the former Muslim Brotherhood terrorist head, F-16s, tanks, and $1.5 billion taxpayer dollars. True or false?
There is some truth to that statement.
It's all true. Iraq now, which was stable, is now in chaos. True or false?
I don't know. I wouldn't say it was stable, but yeah.
It was stable. Okay, it's in chaos. Iran now is $150 billion richer, and according to the report that came out last week, they now can produce a nuclear weapon in half the time they would have been able to produce one before.
That's false.
That's true, too. Syria is now engulfed in a civil war, and now the refugee crisis is impacting the entire world, and as a result...
You already asked me that question. This is like a personality question.
Nope.
You want to see if I answer the same way?
So now I'll go to Noelle Nickpour. So the conclusion of Donald Trump that the legacy of Hillary Clinton, and we see it on display in Munich right now, is one of death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness. True or false, Noelle?
Of course.
I mean, so now we can get into the deeper discussions. How is it? Now, this is what's amazing. I want to play this. Now, John Kerry yesterday said on the ISIS fight we have today, we can say that the tide has turned. Okay, it hasn't turned in Munich today. Obama yesterday said, it's so worth, the world has never been less violent. Is that false, Chris Hahn?
The world has never been less violent. There are definitely violent parts of the world, but on a whole, the world has never been less violent.
I have no idea what you're talking about. All right, let's play Obama And compared to what you just heard from Donald Trump, let's play Obama.
Sometimes when I'm talking to young interns at the White House who are still immunizing themselves from the cynicism that's so chronic in this town, I remind them, if you had to choose a moment in history to be born and you didn't know ahead of time who you were going to be, you'd choose now. Because the world has never been less violent, healthier, better educated, more tolerant, with more opportunity for more people and more connected than it is today.
Now, I'll ask you, Noel Nickpour. Yeah. We have millions, since he's been president, millions more in poverty, millions more on food stamps. We have the lowest labor participation rate since the 70s. He's accumulated more debt than every other president before him combined. We have more kids going to college, coming home, living with mommy and daddy than ever before. One in five American families don't have a single person in that family working today, which is the worst number I've seen in my lifetime. You add to that all of the issues we just talked about on national security. And I think that what Trump did last night by laying out the case that America is in a steep decline and that Americans are suffering needlessly, and for in large measure, it's the cause of the government. I got to tell you, I think he finally told the American people the truth.
I agree. And Sean, I was at the convention and heard the speech, and the fact that he said over and over again he wanted to eradicate terrorism. He wanted to stop it. And he said, enough is enough. And I think the fact that, you know, that resonates with the crowd. And with Hillary, one of the weakest things that she has, Sean, is the fact that she let Benghazi was under her watch and she came up. I mean, everybody knows this, you know, to the mother that lost the son and said it was such a shame that it was due to a video.
Let me go through the timing of some of this. So when Obama said, and Hillary was a part of this, that ISIS was the JV team, that was wrong, right? Chris, you can be honest.
Well, yeah, they were wrong. They miscalculated what they were at that point.
And when Obama said that ISIS was contained 3 days before the attack that took place in France, not this latest attack, the attack prior, he was wrong there too, right?
Well, the latest attack in France, the one in Nice, I don't know that was directly attributed to ISIS. They did take credit for it.
Okay. All right, so he was wrong saying ISIS is contained. Let's just deal with that statement.
You can't contain radical Islam.
So then why did he tell us it was contained?
You can only contain the actors.
So he says the world has never been less violent, and every other day it's either the assassination of our nation's police officers and ambushing of them and having them lie in wait, or it's another terror attack in some portion of the world.
Well, you ever hear of a guy named Genghis Khan or Hitler or any of these other people who murdered millions of people at once?
Yeah, that was evil in my father's time in the case of Hitler.
Well,
and my father
was less violent than it was then.
And my father fought 4 years in the Pacific against Imperial Japan. But the modern evil today that wants to destroy every man, woman, and child and advance a caliphate of Sharia law worldwide is something that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton can't even have the courage to identify.
Well, you know, you just asked the question, is the world less violent today than it was in the past? And the answer is yes.
I think the world is spiraling out of control and has no idea. And on top of all of this, don't you think it's a stupid decision to invite people from countries, I know they donate to the Clinton campaign, the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Library, countries that abuse women, countries that abuse gays and lesbians and put them to death, countries that don't allow Christians to practice their faith or people that are Jewish to practice their faith. You know, countries like Saudi Arabia that keep giving Clinton money and Kuwait and the UAE and Oman and all these countries that practice Sharia.
They gave a lot of money to the Bush family, too. But
Bush isn't running.
I am done with Saudi Arabia.
So am I. So done.
Should be done with Saudi Arabia.
That's the first intelligent thing you've ever said on this program.
Stop. I've said many intelligent things on this program, Sean.
Yeah. Well, listen, so the bottom line is, and it's kind of dumb if, Noel, if the National Director of Intelligence, James Clapper, and the House Homeland Security Committee Chairman, Mike McCall, and the FBI Director and the CIA Director and Obama's former special envoy to defeat ISIS all say, like what happened in Belgium and Paris, that the refugee population will be infiltrated by ISIS and other radicals, that it's a bad idea. My question to you is, why would Hillary increase the refugee population intake by 550%? Isn't that dumb?
Because this is an idiot move. I mean, politically, people do not feel safe. You know, national security is on the forefront of everybody's mind. And when you have today, you know, Munich, you have this going on, people are thinking about, you know, their national safety. And with Hillary Clinton, it's bad. And that's why I think Donald Trump, you know, some people don't like him, some people do, but this is why he is resonating. He wants to be tough, you know, in areas that people really need him to be. And let's face it, Hillary Clinton is dropping the ball when it comes to national security, and this is her weakness. And this is, you know, many more terrorist attacks, and they seem to be happening every week.
And my question then to Chris is, you're supporting Hillary. So my big question to you is, if the National Director of Intelligence, CIA Director, FBI Director, Assistant FBI Director, House Homeland Security Committee Chair, and Obama's former special envoy to defeat ISIS, General John Allen, all say ISIS will infiltrate that population, why is Hillary, who has all the Secret Service protection that she could ever want, you know, even and special protection when she gives her $250,000 an hour speeches,
right?
Why would she gamble with the lives of the American people?
I don't think she is. And again, you're miscategorizing.
Do you want the refugees moving into your neighborhood right next to you?
Let them move into my neighborhood.
And what if they turn?
They have to go through an 18-month to 2-year background check, which includes biometrics, personal interviews, lots of many different checks along the way. Look, do I think that there's no risk at all? I agree with James Comey when he says you can't rule out any risk here. But I think the risk is very minimal.
Okay, no, you say the risk is minimal. But in Europe, they said the same thing, and bombs went off in Belgium, and terrorist attacks happened, and women were raped by refugees, and you're willing to gamble with the lives of the American people, and I'm not. And I want to know why you're so willing to gamble with people's lives and not listen to the best, the smartest, the brightest, the best informed intelligence officials in the entire world. Why would you ignore that?
People whose enemy is our enemy, that are fleeing our enemy. And what would Jesus do in this situation, Sean? Would he turn his back on the refugee? I don't think he would. And as a Christian and as American,
okay, the Son of God is not here. And we are confronting evil, and innocent people are dying, and there's no alternative. I don't have the ability of Jesus to stop the evil in this world.
None of us do, Sean.
So you have to confront it or defeat it rather than invite potential evil into your hometown.
We're going to be judged by how we treat the least of them. And I worry for our country if we're going to turn our back on millions because there might be one in that crowd.
You know what?
I'm not afraid.
This is why I believe
in our law enforcement.
Listen, I agree. Listen, you stand on that position, and you stand, and you Democrats stand on that next week, and you're going to lose, and you're going to lose big time.
Well, we'll see.
And you learn nothing from what happened in Great Britain, and I'm glad you didn't.
Well,
all right. Thank you. Noel, thank you, too. Appreciate it.
So today, we can come to Washington as we did. Defense ministers and foreign ministers, 45 countries, I believe, represented, 45 strong. And today, we can say that the tide has turned. Our coalition and its partners on the ground have driven Daesh out of nearly 50% of the territory that it once controlled in Iraq and 20% of the territory in Syria, where it's obviously more complicated because we don't have the same forces on the ground. But coalition airstrikes have degraded Daesh's leadership, disrupted its ability to carry out offensive military operations. In fact, Daesh has not, since last May, been able to take over a community and hold on to that community or advance in terms of the territory that they were claiming. They have only shrunk and moved backwards.
Sometimes when I'm talking to young interns at the White House who are still immunizing themselves from the cynicism that's so chronic in this town, I remind them, if you had to choose a moment in history to be born and you didn't know ahead of time who you were going to be, you'd choose now, because the world has never been less violent, healthier, better educated, more tolerant, with more opportunity for more people and more connected than it is today.
What on earth is this president suggesting here? What is Joe? The world has never been less violent. You know, today we can say that the tide has turned, the terrorist network is shrinking and moving backwards. The same idiots that told you that ISIS was the JV team. The same people that use these ridiculous euphemisms of workplace violence and man-caused disasters and overseas contingency operations. Oh, it was a dark speech last night because Donald Trump told you the truth. And the truth is, yeah, Egypt was peaceful. ISIS didn't exist. They weren't on the map. That Iran was being choked off by sanctions that were working. Syria was not in a civil war and was under control. Now we have ISIS spread across the region, city after city that Americans fought, bled, and died for, now in the hands of ISIS, because they politicized the war in Iraq. They pulled out too early. They did not listen to the admonitions of our military officials that said it would end up in the hands of a worse enemy. George W. Bush warned them as well. And now they also have not only the territory, but the financing for their global terror network, which continues to grow. That's why it's happening in this country, in that country, here, there, everywhere. Well, that's been created and it's financed because of the oil that they now have control over. Cities in like Mosul, Ramadi, Tikrit, Fallujah. Libya also is in ruins. North Africa being totally and completely radicalized. Our ambassador and staff literally abandoned after they had requested all of this security, telling the world, telling Washington what was happening, telling Hillary Clinton. 600 separate requests were denied. And then during the attack, we totally abandoned them because we were afraid what Libya might say if we send in troops to save Americans and what clothing they ought to be wearing. And then the big lie afterwards. And then after the Arab Spring, giving the former head of the Muslim Brotherhood, who once referred to the Israelis as descendants of apes and pigs, they didn't support Mubarak, who was far more friendly to the United States. Well, they give the new Muslim Brotherhood president F-16s, tanks, and $1.5 billion. So now Egypt becomes a mess, and then the military has to take control. Iraq is in total chaos. Thank you very much, Hillary and Obama. Iran now can build a weapon in half the time that they would have been able to build it, and they have $150 billion extra dollars to move it forward. And Syria is engulfed in the civil war. The whole world is impacted by that. And Donald Trump told you the truth last night, that Hillary Clinton's legacy is one of death and destruction and terrorism and weakness. And we're not even talking about Black Lives Matter, the assassination of cops, the targeted assassination of police as they lie in wait for these ambushes. We didn't talk about their support of Black Lives Matter chanting, what do we want, dead cops? When do we want them now? We haven't talked about Obama saying, oh, never want to be born at this time. How many college kids do you know that live in the basement of mommy and daddy and have given up any hope of looking for work because there's no jobs available? Because illegal immigration is taking a lot of those jobs. And because he didn't know how to run the economy as he was accumulating more debt than every other president before him combined. As millions more now depend on government through food stamps and poverty programs. It's unbelievable. What fantasy world is he living in? What fantasy world is she living in? What bizarre Alice in Wonderland is John Kerry living in, for crying out loud? Well, that's your choice this election. And for you never-Trumper people, okay, look at the Supreme Court choices that you will have in terms of what Hillary offers you versus what Trump would offer you. That's your choice come November. Watch what is on display next week in Philly. You watch, and you listen to the climate change, and you watch the Black Lives Matters group associates get up there and talk. And Trayvon Martin's mother get up and talk. And they talk about global warming is the biggest problem. And that, oh my gosh, Donald Trump identified radical Islamic terrorism. That's a horrible thing. They're going to hate us because he uses the word radical Islamic terrorism. And that he wants to build a wall. And Hillary wants to open the world, you know, open our borders for everybody. Watch the comparisons. And we're going to get everything's going to be free next week. Free health care. How did that work out for you with Obamacare? No energy, no coal, no energy independence. We'll always be dependent, according to Democrats, on countries that hate our guts. So they get richer and richer and we lose job after job, millions of high paying jobs. She's not going to talk about that. She's going to be beholden to the NEA. I doubt she talks about, except if it's just words, you know, building up our military, supporting our military, supporting our vets. We have more corruption at the VA than anywhere else. I mean, what I liked last night, well, some people said, well, it went on 76 minutes. That's a long time. Okay, he talked about vets, bad trade agreements, about becoming energy independent, about sending education back to the states. He talked a lot about radical Islamic terrorism and the failure of this interventionist foreign policy that we get ourselves involved in, only to be politicized, only to have American young men and women fight, live, and die, only to just give back to our enemies what they fought so hard for. He talked about infrastructure. He talked about, you know, all the illegal immigration, the statistics and sanctuary cities and people dying, and then he gets criticized for it. It's unbelievable. Law and order. Unbelievable. Let's get to our phones. I promised you we would. Let's say hi to Ginger Wood Radio, Grand Rapids. We're in Michigan now. How are you, Ginger? Well, I'm actually here in New York. You're in Michigan. Welcome aboard.
Well, you know what? I'm really getting tired of these leaders having blood on their hands. It's not the first time. Merkel has to step up and actually say, we're done. You are no longer allowed to kill our citizens. And frankly, Obama and Kerry and Clinton, this is ridiculous. When there's something like this happens, there's extra security at the White House. Everybody gets extra security. Me and my husband and my family, all we have is what we have at our home. But the thing is that our home's possibly not soft target, but I have to run to
the store. You know, we're watching this all unfold all day in Germany. And the poor people of Germany, you know, they've been on lockdown all day, and they're being told by the police to stay in their homes all day. And the police have, in Munich, identified this as a terror attack, but still not exactly sure how many people are involved in all of this. And you know what? I'm sorry, but Chancellor Merkel, she brought in refugees. If we find out for sure that these are refugees she brought into that country, and she was warned just as Obama and Hillary are being warned now, then she has blood on her hands for not listening to people that know more than her.
Absolutely. And the thing is that the innocent citizens who are just, you know, everyday events are the ones who are the targets of these evildoers. And it just so frustrates me because as these dilettantes, aristocrats, stand behind their security pointing at us going, you can't have your guns while they sit behind security.
Unbelievable. Thank you. Jim, Atlanta News Talk, WSB. How are you, Jim? Glad you called, sir.
Hey, pretty good, Sean. I've got you loud and clear. It's good to talk to you today. Sorry for the circumstances. The reason I'm calling in, of course, we have this story opening right now in Germany, which is a shocker on the one hand, not on the other, because we expect to see these things more and more. And I'm a former military for a long time. I still travel through there fairly frequently, and I can tell you for a fact that the nation has changed tremendously as a result of...
Did we lose you?
As a result of this influx that's coming into the Middle East. You mentioned something earlier on the show that I wanted to highlight. Not even calling in, and I heard you say this, but you were talking about the losses that we incur in the Middle East, you know, areas that we died for.
Yeah. Jim, you keep breaking up on us. We'll try and get a better connection with you. I apologize. We really wanted to hear your comments. Patricia, WNIS in Virginia Beach, Virginia. How are you, Patricia? We're glad you called.
How are you,
Sean? I'm good. It's a tough day seeing this all day again. All day again. Every day. Assassinating police, terror attacks all over the world. But don't worry. Obama says it's never been a safer time for the world ever for our kids. The world has never been less violent. Okay.
Well, I actually called because I'm an independent. On Wednesday, I was an anti-Hillary voter. Yesterday, I started to lean Trump. And today, I'm pro-Trump. I really only have one reservation about him. And I think the transformation is really how he handled the whole Cruz thing. I'm really tired of people calling us names when we disagree. You know, just because we have a different opinion, we're a racist, we're a misogynist, we're a bigot. So how he allowed Cruz to speak, even though he knew what he was going to say, he didn't call him names afterwards. So I started to lean toward him at that point. And then after hearing him speak, I think he knocked it out of the park. There's really only one thing, and it's a stylistic thing. I wish he would stop saying, believe me. The second I hear believe me, I think I'm about to hear a lie.
Well, I got to tell you, I totally agree with the consensus that Hillary cannot be elected the president of the United States. She is not fit to serve. Very early in the speech last night, Donald Trump said, if you can't recognize that simple, basic, fundamental truth about security, you are not fit to serve. And I agree with that. 55 KRC, Sarah in Cincinnati. What's up, Sarah? How are you? We're glad you called.
Yeah, I can't believe we're watching this happen again in Germany a week after Nice. And if ever there was a time for leadership, it is now. And Donald Trump did an amazing job last night on his speech. And I have so much gratitude to him and his family for what they're doing for this country. And I just have a challenge for all undecided voters that they stand with the other American voters that went out and put Trump as the nominee for the Republican Party. Trust us and go with us. He is going to be a great leader, and he is going to do great things for this country.
Listen, I was pretty inspired by the speech last night. The thing I like about I like truth. I try to tell you the truth every day. When he laid out the truth about the economy, when he laid out the truth about what has happened in the last 8 years, when he laid out the truth about the failures of Obama and Hillary, and then he offered solutions. You cannot solve problems unless and until you admit there's a problem. All right, Jim in Atlanta, we only have less than a minute. We'll give it all to you as we wrap up this half hour. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Sean, thanks for letting me come back in. Yeah, what I was saying right as we got disconnected was you had mentioned just a few minutes ago that we have fought, bled, and died for areas in the Middle East and that we're giving those back up. But with what's going on in Germany, I wanted to make an interesting connection with that statement of yours, and it's this. You know, we fought, bled, and died for Germany during World War II, and we're seeing those victories also be undermined in the form of, again, this terrorism that's coming into the country as a result of this influx of folks in the Middle East. It's not monitored, you know, opening the doors, letting everybody come in, no control, no effort to structure anything. And now what we're seeing today is an example of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm just looking at the clock. I can't respond. I'm just out of time here. Thank you so much for being with us. 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. Hannity Live, 10 Eastern. Latest on the shooting, this terrorist attack. Yes, one in a series. This time in Munich, Germany, and of course, more fallout from Donald Trump. He is now the Republican presidential nominee.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kiwi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.